morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources 2007 Annual Financial Results Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson, CFO. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the full year 2007 Investor Conference Call of Amerigo Resources Limited on Thursday, February 28, 2008. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form, particularly the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I would like to introduce our chairman, Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thank you, Aurora. Good morning, everybody. On the line, we have our president, Dr. Klaus Zeitler. He's calling in from Chile this morning. And we have Aurora Davidson, our CFO, who you just heard from, and myself. Purpose of this call is to elaborate a little on our financial results as released yesterday and our dividend release, which went out yesterday. Pleased to report that cash flow from operating activities, being our core operating business, increased over 2006 to $31 million from a $27 million number in 2006. More importantly, our copper production was up 35% on the previous 2007 year, although to be fair, 2006 was what I think we called at one stage the annus horribilis. We had all sorts of challenges that were not within our control that were related to our partners' own business activities, and we had a much better year, although we did experience disruption during the course of the 2007 year. For other reasons, we had a much better year from a production perspective, and therefore top line revenue was much stronger than 2006, although actual average price was realized price was slightly lower than 2007. The challenges in 2007 were almost exclusively in the area of energy costs, and once again, unfortunately, not something that management has direct control over. In fact, something that not just Amerigo, but all industry and all copper producers are dealing with one way or another in Chile, with the advent of very tight energy supplies, primarily related to an almost elimination of imports of gas from Argentina due to a host of factors, but principally due to demand in Argentina and the nature of the contract that Argentina had with Chile on that front. And so right now we're in a bit of a transitional period for Chile in terms of it's now being caught somewhat off guard as a result of that change. And we'll talk a little bit more about that going forward. But we're also pleased to report, as we did in the last quarter, that we've made a commitment to become potentially energy self-sufficient by installing our own 2x10 megawatt generators which should become commission late in the second quarter. Our actual accounting numbers were $24.3 million from earnings after from operations versus $30.7 million, so there's a difference of approximately $6 million. And that's the net effect of higher revenue but offset by significantly higher energy costs. The bottom line accounting number is net earnings after tax of 24.28 in 07 versus 39.28 in 06. That 06 number that most of you who follow us will recall, that included a gain of the order of $8.5 million on the sale of a strategic investment in a company called Chariot Resources. And that was realized during the course of 06 and therefore credited at $8.5 million after tax in the 06 year. As I mentioned earlier, the other major factor on the negative side of the slate is that we're dealing with almost a $20 million increase in our energy and power costs as a result of the circumstances that I alluded to earlier. So in to the extent that management was able to manage that challenge, and that could have been an effective $20 million hit to the bottom line. It wasn't. The operating earnings difference, as I alluded to earlier, it was about $6 million. So we managed to make up for that by higher production and reduction of costs in other areas. But nevertheless, we had to manage with a $20 million increase in energy costs during the course of 07. I'll come back to energy in a moment. The other factor that I'd like to highlight is that whilst we did not realize anything like the $8.5 million gain on the investment in Chariot, followers might remember that we took a strategic position in Chariot by owning about 20% of that company before as the market realized the quality of the underlying asset. We were hopeful of being able to make a contribution to progressing and developing that asset, although the board of Chariot were very keen on their own strategy, and as a result, we decided that if we could make a contribution, then our job as on behalf of Amerigo shareholders is to find under-recognized and undervalued assets and try to add value to them and ultimately incorporate them one way or another into our own business growth strategy. But the point here is that in the 2007 year, we've made two strategic investments, one in a company by the name of Candente, which we like very much. President and CEO Joanne Fries, she and her colleagues discovered the Kenyarako deposit in northern Peru. It's a very, very large copper porphyry deposit, and we're excited about its future, and we're very much being welcomed into at least the board level initially on in how to optimally progress that property. And then also with a company by the name of Los Andes Copper, led by President and CEO Roger Moss, and that's that company owns the Vizcachitas property, copper property also in Chile this time. A couple of hours or so drive outside of Santiago, Chile. And as at the end of 2007, the unrecognized gain on our investment to date was about $4.4 million. But because we're continuing to be invested and involved in those companies, then, and by the way, Dr. Zeiser, our president, is chairman of Los Andes, and I've recently been appointed chairman of Candente. Those investments are not recorded, and the gains on those investments are not recorded under accounting rules as they exist today until they are realized in some fashion, and so therefore they classified as other comprehensive income and not therefore included in net earnings. So we believe we are adding value in that way, in ways that we have in the past with Chariot, but it's a longer-term view, and we hope to continue to add to that the comprehensive income value. Earnings per share for the year were 26 cents compared to 42 cents in 2006, directly related to the earnings differences that I've alluded to earlier. Production in 2007 was 33.2 million pounds of copper and 639,000 pounds of moly. Copper was up, as I said earlier, 35% over 2006, and moly was slightly down due to lower moly production in the fresh tailings we received from Teniente. That's, we understand, and we don't know this specifically, but we understand that that may have something to do with the places that Teniente are mining in their mine plan at the moment, and we expect to see that come back to the average over the next year or two or three. In Q4 07, we commenced processing old tailings in the amount of about 10,000 to 12,000 tons a day, and we plan to ramp that up in 2008 in accordance with our contractual arrangements and as we install new monitoring equipment as our work area demands it. Gross copper selling price in 07 was $3.10 versus $3.33. Realized copper price was $2.72 for the year. Klaus is going to make a greater reference to this issue in his operations report, but if I can say simply that I think this whole issue of accounting for copper price realization is a very challenging issue for everybody, for the company, for analysts who follow the company, etc. Because the rules are relatively complex, accounting rules are relatively complex. In fact, I'm not sure what accounting rules are relatively complex these days. Combining that with the fact that the copper business has a relatively complex way of recognizing revenue, which is this M, at the moment at least in the market, is M being delivery date plus 3 being 3 months later pricing scenario. So you've got two components of provisional pricing in any one quarter. And as a result, the production produced in a quarter is priced at the price at M plus 3 being the date of production and delivery, then 3 months hence, and we get that number from the forward market that's out there in the LME and the US copper market. And then the other component is a repricing of any deliveries that were priced in previous quarters but yet to be priced in the quarter that is being reported on. And that price is priced against the spot price that existed at the end of the quarter. And copper industry followers will know that for all the reasons we don't understand, the copper price was soft at the end of the quarter. We had a price of around $3.05 for the M plus 3 and a spot of about $3.16 at the end of the quarter. So that our last Q4 result had two components of adjustment, which, and Klaus will elaborate, as I said, which if we use today's copper, not in fact today's copper rate, if we use $3.60 because today's copper price is $3.74 or $5, if you use $3.60, just to give listeners a sense of how sensitive this is, and I sympathize with those people who are trying to project what these are, not just for Amerigo, but for all copper companies, just by the simple difference between a $3.60 price and a $3.16 price, which was the spot price at the end of the quarter, that would have resulted in a plus almost $8 million positive adjustment to our earnings. It's that double whammy of production during the quarter pricing plus production during previous quarters not yet delivered into. And that's how sensitive it is. And as I said, our earnings had the copper price been more like where it is today, our earnings would have been substantially different for the full year and certainly for the Q4. Happy to elaborate on that issue during the question time, and Klaus will have some comments on that also shortly. Cash costs were slightly higher at $1.50 pound compared to $1.20, all but exclusively related to higher power costs. There was some impact on lower byproduct credits from Mali, but almost exclusively higher power costs. Total plus costs were $220 versus $180 in 06. We continued to invest in capital expenditures. We had $18 million, a big chunk of which was the beginning of our commitment to move to self-sufficiency in energy production. In that 18 is about a $5.5 million number that relates to the purchase price of the secondhand gensets we acquired. As I alluded to earlier, our investments in Candente and Los Andes total about just under $16 million. Our cash balance is about 16.7 as of December 31. Very pleased to report that yesterday we declared our sixth consecutive semi-annual dividend. We declared a dividend of 6.5 cents per share, and we continue to work towards maintaining our dividend policy of not only generating upside from the copper price and our expanding production base, but also from a high-yielding dividend. I think to that extent, we are relatively unique in this copper space. I think that's all I wanted to allude to. I'm going to hand the call over to Klaus to talk a little bit more about the production, underlying production facts. Klaus is also going to allude to some of the issues in terms of production that we are dealing with in the Q1 period of 08, and also he's going to elaborate a little bit more on the energy situation in Chile and where our initiatives are at in terms of becoming self-sufficient. So I'll hand it over to you, Klaus. Thank you.
Let me just start then with production. The people who have been following us for a longer period of time know already that the first quarter of any year is always a slow quarter, and that is due to the fact that we start out in January with an annual close down of the El Teniente mine for doing maintenance and bigger repair jobs, and these close downs vary from only 2 or 3 days to 5, 6, or 7 days. And then, of course, usually February is a short month. And in addition to these normal shutdowns, which have an effect on our production, this year we had down here they call it, again, a La Niña year, there has been some very unseasonal weather effects. Overall, it has been very hot and very dry in Chile, but there have been a few very heavy rainstorms which then hit in the Andes, very dry ground, and that then leads to mudslides, which in our case had some effect on the production from El Teniente, whereby El Teniente had to shut down because of such mudslides, where there was no connection between the mine and the concentrator. So these things will affect our first quarter production. We still hope that we should be close to our average quarterly production that we had last year. But we'll have to see how March develops. The hot weather also, and I'm coming to the energy situation, also had and will have, everybody expects that, will have some deleterious effect on the production of energy in Chile. The government has already enacted emergency laws so that in case of high demand and some problems with the delivery of energy, people know what has to be done. They have lowered the voltage to increase the availability of energy. The hydro electric power generation may be more affected toward the end of the summer because of the absence of rain. So the situation is quite serious, and therefore we had taken and we have been studying this for the past year, and we took immediate action long before other people have taken such action to become self-sufficient and bought these two generators. These generators are in the process of arriving here in Chile in the next few days. We have already prepared the foundations for them. We are still in the permitting process, so at this moment we do not have a permit for operating these generators. But with the situation, with the energy situation deteriorating in Chile, we think that will play into our hand that the permit will come through very promptly without much delay. If that is the case, then we should be able to start operating these generators by the beginning of the third quarter. We will do everything possible to advance that startup, if that is at all possible. But we think we are on solid ground for a startup in the third quarter. With respect to the earnings situation, I think Stephen elaborated enough on it. The only thing I'd like to add is, because of these accounting rules and because of the fact of the variations in the price and the fact that we only know 3 months after delivery what we actually receive in terms of revenue, there will always be very significant variations in the revenue and therefore, of course, then also in the in the prof, in the earnings picture. Just you know, to take this past year, we had at the beginning in the first quarter of 2007 positive price adjustments and earnings adjustments, therefore, of about $450,000, and we had negative adjustments which we had to book from a price which was sort of the normal price in the October November period to the price at the end of December of about $4 million, and we will now have, if the prices stay where they are to the end of the quarter, we will have, as Stephen already mentioned, significant positive price adjustments. So, you know, if you just take the 450 positive in the first quarter and the 4 million negative in the last quarter, you can see that by itself is a 5 cent earnings distraction, which however will then be adjusted again at some point, and in this case, as I said, if the prices stay as they are, it will be adjusted in the first quarter of this year. I think that's about all I'd like to say.
The only thing I would elaborate, Klaus, on is on the energy front is that clearly we're not, you know, Amerigo is only a small-time player in this energy situation in Chile.
Right. I might add there are, of course, different effects from the energy price situation on different companies. As you may know, in the north, where the major copper production is, there has been a situation where some companies had very long-term energy supply contracts at fixed prices. And so they will probably report energy costs which are not that bad in comparison what the actual energy prices are right now. However, they have been lending money to a bankrupt supplier of energy, namely Gas Atacama, and of course, if you add these, and they are in the amount of something like $600 or $700 million. So, you know, once you add these loans, which had to be given in order for the company to continue to produce the energy, then of course you would also see a significant price rise. The fact of the matter is the low energy prices in the north were only possible due to the delivery of cheap gas from Argentina. And once that stopped, and the contracts were based on that cheap gas, and once that delivery stopped, as it did 1.5 years ago, then the company who contracted these fixed prices and now had to change their input for the production of the energy from gas to, say, diesel, they were in a situation where they could not support these losses anymore and therefore had to declare bankruptcy, and the only way they were able to continue producing up to now was due to the support from the big consumers in the north. So the situation there has been different in that way that the cost for the high energy may be accounted for in a completely different way than if you have a contract where the higher energy cost can be passed down to you, as is the normal case in most of the, or I would say in all of the contracts which were negotiated in the last 4 or 5 years.
Thanks, Bob. Operator, I think we're now ready to hand the call over to questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The first question is from Mr. Tom Meyer. Please go ahead, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you. Good morning. Kaliwais, it's not clear, but in the release you mentioned you're producing 10,000 at a rate of 10,000 to 12,000 tons per day. Can you shed light on how many days, or just give it a sense of tonnage in the 4Q07? And also, if you can be a little bit more specific than just referring to contractual arrangements with respect to Kaliwais processing, because you can take up to 45,000 tons per day. So do you expect to get that get to that rate in 2008?
In the last quarter, yes, we started up producing from Kaliwais and we came to an average of 10,000 to 12,000. That was not during the full fourth quarter. In the first quarter this year, as I said, we were affected by various situations. It also affected our production from these old tailings. And the reason that we were affected there was because, as you know, the tailings are traveling from El Teniente in an open channel for 80 kilometers to the final tailings pond, Karain. And due to these heavy sporadic rains, El Teniente was very cautious and conscious of the fact that that the channel does not overflow due to heavy inflow from rainwater. And so we all were very cautious not to produce to the maximum technical possibility which we had. So therefore we had quite a few days where we had to reduce production also from the old tailings. We are now making further headway, and we are now hitting 15,000 tons in some days. We are not there yet on the average, but we are getting there. And that is the arrangement which we have at this point, that we produce up to that up to that level. We are still in discussion about the further increase, and that has to do with the technical and environmental criteria, which El Teniente has to approve, so that we can go ahead with that, and this is in the in that approval process, and we hope that that we get this approval pretty soon, but at this point it is in the hands of our partner.
Tom, if I can just add to that, what I think people need to appreciate is that the management of Teniente has gone under significant change since we first negotiated the agreement. The first thing I would add is that the contract which we negotiated with previous management of Teniente has been confirmed in principle and legally by the new management. However, the new management themselves want to get comfortable with two aspects. One, bear in mind they've just come through a very, very challenging period with respect to environmental relations in the last year or two. So understandably, management is very sensitive to making sure that they are fully compliant with all their environmental obligations, and therefore anything that we do in conjunction with them has to be very conservatively based and mindful of those new environmental rules. And the other thing I should say is that there are some new very tight environmental rules in relation to discharge introduced to Chile countrywide, not just in Niente. That plus the fact that they have been very meticulous at investigating all sorts of things within the framework of the contract that we have. As we've said, we've got this contract, but they have been meticulous in wanting to understand all sorts of issues in relation to dam stability upon extraction, in relation to metallurgical issues, in relation to flows of that material in with the fresh tailings to Coran, in relation to recirculating that material as production ramps up. There's a whole series of things in a dam wall within the old tailings, which allow us to mine both wet and dry. Suffice to say, we'd love to give you a tour around. Any of the analysts around the call would love to give you a tour around in the next little while. But suffice to say, it's not as straightforward as one might would think, and there are a whole bunch of technical issues that, quite rightly, the new management of El Teniente are very conscious of. Then the third aspect that needs to be appreciated we had a work area established on the monitoring side of the operation for extracting this material, which was lost in totality when the requirement by Teniente was triggered to disperse fresh tailings as an emergency measure due to the issues with the bridge into the area we were working. And as a result, it has now taken us some time to reestablish, and if anyone's familiar with the technology related to monitoring extraction of tailings, it is only through a passage of time do you build a large enough work area such that the tonnage, and therefore from additional monitoring machines, can be built, but it has to take time to expand slowly, by step, incremental, the area under which monitoring is operated, and carefully done, because it's all done by gravity, and you can't just sort of start willy-nilly in one particular area and get ramps immediately up the tonnage. So what Klaus is saying is we are, from an operating perspective, apart from the constraints and technical issues that are receiving final review now from Teniente Management, there are a whole bunch of operating step-ups that we make which are simply practical to do with the work area on the dam.
Okay, that's all clear for me. I'll pass it on. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. Our next question will be from Mr. David Shapiro. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to go over some of the power costs. In 2007, the fourth quarter specifically, what was the power cost per kilowatt hour?
The power cost, I don't know whether you have that handy, cost, but the power cost is one that fluctuates with the marginal cost calculation that all the central grid users are subject to. We're just seeing whether we can get you an average number, but it was significant. Can we come back to that?
It was around, I don't have the exact figure, it was around 25 cents.
25 cents per kilowatt hour?
Yeah.
For the fourth quarter?
Right.
Okay. It's a little bit higher than how I was figuring the numbers there when you disclosed the full year amount, because if I recall, you guys disclosed the full year power cost here at 17.
Yes.
Yeah, but don't forget.
And don't forget, you know, I mean, we started out last year with 6.
Right.
And you know, it just kept on increasing and increasing.
I guess what I'm saying is when I take a look across your year, I see the first quarter at about 10 cents. I see the second quarter at about 20. I see the third quarter about 21. And I don't see how you get back down to 17 cents or 17.3 cents for the year unless you have much lower fourth quarter.
I don't think your second quarter was 20 cents. But Aurora can check that.
I'm not sure why it's significant other than to say it's high and we don't have any control over it and we're paying it like everybody else. But
well, I'm just trying to arrive at your energy consumption level, I guess.
Well, that depends also on our how many mills we have running, and that's dependent upon how much fresh tailings we're getting, and that depends on how much old tailings we're getting. So there isn't, you know, you got to tell us what scenario you're looking for in terms of whether it's historical consumption.
Well, just for the fourth quarter, for instance.
But put it this way, we've got 20 megabytes of generating capacity coming in, commissioning at the end of Q2 and starting in the beginning of Q3. So you know, it's just in excess of 20 megawatts of energy as we see going forward.
Okay. When I take a look at your production cost differential for the year, I understand that the vast majority of it is explained through the power. However, outside of the power, there's still a $1.4 million delta there, and that seems to have come entirely in the fourth quarter versus comparing the fourth quarter 07 versus the fourth quarter 06, you know, because that was a delta of 1.4 outside of the power according to your filings.
Yeah, and that has to do with the exchange rate. In the fourth quarter, the exchange rate for the Chilean peso increased significantly.
So you think the lion's share of that $1.4 million is just an exchange rate adjustment to production cost?
Yep.
Okay. When you get your cogeneration project up and running, the power project up and running, you know, sometime early second half of the year, hopefully, you know, how much power, and I understand it's going to be a function of how much tailings are coming out, but, you know, assuming tailings are still staying around the, you know, 11th, or 13,000 tons per day out of the new stockpile, will that, you know, cover half your power costs? Or
80%.
I'm sorry?
80%.
80% of the usage, the energy usage.
Right.
In total, in fresh and old tailings.
Okay, and hopefully that would be able to get your that would be able to reduce your power costs. Have the bunker fuel prices greatly increased, or
of course. I mean,
right?
like everything. So you know, it will depend on the oil price, what our cost will be. But I mean, the prices of the energy which we would buy from the grid.